The Quintessential Podcast is proud to announce that we have a new presenting sponsor, Axia Time. Axia Time is a really cool watch company focused on ultra-custom watches to commemorate life's greatest accomplishments. Watches whose styling and quality match the significance of the accomplishments they represent. Axia Time is also partnered with all the leading lacrosse organizations to create All-American timepieces for high school boys and girls and college men and women. Axia Time even creates timepieces for elite awards like the Tourton and Naismith. If you're interested in a high-quality, Swiss-made timepiece to commemorate a great accomplishment, you need to check out their designs at axiatime.com. That's axiatime.com. If you're celebrating a team achievement, like a state championship, national championship, or even world championship, you have to check out the timepieces they created for teams like Jesuit Dallas, the University of Maryland, and even the USA U21 World Champions. Welcome, everybody, to a July summer edition of the Quintessential Podcast. Quince here with Courtney Martinez-Connor of ESPN, former college coach, college player. Going to be a high school coach, apparently, from the news I'm hearing around Smaltimore. And the reason why Courtney's our guest this week is Athletes Unlimited. And Athletes Unlimited gets underway on Thursday, July 20th. They're playing in Sparks at USA Lacrosse for 4 weekends. What is it? 6 games a weekend. That's 24 total games. Court, are you ready for 24 games with Joe B?
I am. I always have a fun time with Joe. He's quite a personality, not just on air, but off too. We have a fun time.
He was telling me yesterday that he, I guess, met all 56 of the players or Zoomed with them and did interviews with all 56. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. I missed, I think, maybe 5 of those meetings, and I heard every bit about it. Even at the field, he is there early. He is the biggest preparer, and I don't know how he finds the time to do any and everything that he does. And I even got to ride in his little car, which is always fun.
So Athletes Unlimited, they have a handful of women's sports, pro women's sports that they operate. Why is this lacrosse? I went last year, and I'll tell the fans, I thought it was so intense. It was so high level. It was mind blowing. Honestly, I was down on the field for a bit. I was up in the stands with you guys up in the booth for a little bit. And it was unbelievable. The skill, I've never seen anything like it. And I'm a big proponent of pro lacrosse. I know on the men's side, it's really advanced the game from the beginnings of the MLL back in 2000 to now, almost 25 years later. The game gets advanced when players in their 20s, whether women or men, continue to work at their craft. So I'm a big proponent of this. What you covered it all last summer. What did you sense that the fans enjoyed most?
You know, obviously the high level, number one, right? You have players from this era to, you know, some have been graduated for about 10 years at this point, but they all have played collegiately. We have national champions, we have world champions, and the fact that they are still able to play lacrosse at a high level, and there's a lot of disciplines now, right? We have sixes that we've seen, world lacrosse, at the international level is different than college lacrosse, which is different than high school to your youth. And I think every different version brings a little something more. And when you have 10 players on a field, which is what Athletes Unlimited is, you just see the athleticism, the speed, the skill, the strength. I mean, that these players display is insane. And they do it with 3 games over 4 days. And last year, some of them were coming from world championships, whether it was Team USA or Canada, and then hopping right onto the field for Athletes Unlimited. And they just kept going. And we all know that because you were at the men's world championships this summer. I mean, that's a grueling task in and of itself. And then they turned right back around and competed in Athletes Unlimited. And that was the second year. This summer is our third. And every year just keeps getting better and better, from the talent to how drafts are done. The players are just really getting into it and understanding. And I think my favorite part was sitting in those meetings, and I said, what kind of advice can you offer any of these rookies that are just getting started? What can they expect? And they said college for adults. And I love that because they said anything that we didn't do or quite understand at the college level, we're now getting that chance to kind of repeat or do over again at the pro level. And they said players who you love to hate, right? You love to hate your opponents in college. It's like, oh, I play for Maryland, you play for Duke. It's a natural enemy. But in Athletes Unlimited, the rosters are changing every week. So you're never playing with the same team again. And they just really get to know one another each of those weeks because you have to create chemistry quickly. You have to get to know one another so you can perform on the field in those bonds that they create off the field. They're like, that's what they felt was kind of missing at the collegiate level. They didn't get to know every single person as well as they do all 56 of these players, which is pretty cool.
So these games being played at US Lacrosse, which is a small venue. It was pretty, it was cozy last year. The place was full. It was exciting. It was a good buzz in the air. Certainly there's not a bad seat in the house, and that's in Sparks, Maryland. So if you're flying in, you want to fly to BWI. If you're driving in, you're coming in on 83 and making a turn on Shawan Road and heading up York Road. It's not that far outside of downtown Baltimore. The format, there's 56 women who play. There's 4 weeks, and each week a captain or a leader in points picks their own team, and they play three games a week. So the action, as I said, July 20, 22nd, and 23rd is opening weekend. You guys are on ESPN2 on Sunday. I see most of the games are on ESPNU. All of the games are on ESPN+. And that goes on the last week in July, that August 3rd, 5th, and 6th weekend, and then things wrap up August 10 and 12. I think the format is intriguing because it's a little bit of a showcase, an all-star event, but you're divided into a team and you get points each week based on individual performances and team performance. And I think that's the huge kicker here. If my team wins a quarter or a half or a game, I get credit for it. And so athletes who play on winning teams consistently are going to move up the charts. Is that accurate? What do you think, Court? What do you think is most important for fans to understand about the format?
You know, that every quarter counts. And there's a slogan within Athletes Unlimited, every moment counts. And it is true. Every single thing you do on the field has a point system involved. So you do something great, you score a goal, you cause a turnover, you make a save, you get a ground ball or a draw control, you get points for yourself. Now, at the end of each quarter, which every quarter winner, that entire team gets points as well. So it is true. You want to do well individually, but when you do well individually, your team does well. And I think that's what these players really get because, yeah, you want to perform for yourself, but at the larger part, it has to do with the team because the better I do, the better the team does. And when the team does well, you get more points each quarter. And then the end of the game has a big 45 points for the winner. So they all want to play for each other. It's not, I know naysayers have said, this is going to be selfish. How can you have a single champion? But it all works. It works in every single sport that Athletes Unlimited has, basketball, softball, volleyball, because they connect on the field individually and as a team. And it just makes it really exciting. And again, the fact that it's that team one time for a weekend, they play three games together and then they have another draft. And the top 4 points individual players from each week are then the new captain. So it's everybody has a different analysis on what they think is best. Is it players who they played with collegiately? Is it those who they just maybe played on the US team with? It all really depends. Each captain, you know, decides what they think is best for their team for that week. And that's I think that other really unique part because it's connections, like I had mentioned earlier, off the field, I think that drives the number one teams. You can have all-stars on paper, but if they aren't working together offensively, if they aren't communicating on D, because they kind of don't quite have that relationship off the field, it shows. And there've been some teams on paper that look really, really good. And you're thinking, why did they only win 1 out of 3 games? And, you know, that magic little recipe of that college for adults, I think it was Alex Ostholman had said, you know, sums it up perfectly.
I do want to talk about some of the 56 players who are involved this summer, but as we said, there's four teams. So that's 14 players per team. Talking about the top of the pyramid, not many subs and one backup goalie. What have you found in terms of the points breakdown? What have you learned? What's important? What's not important? What adds up? I seem to get the feeling that like every little point counts.
Yeah, one of the interesting ones on the field are defensively, when there's a shot and defense runs that ball out, that's a cause turnover. That's some big points that you can get for your team because a cause turnover counts just as much as a goal. And I think that's a really easy one. You know, a lot of people wouldn't even think twice about picking the ball up. And Joe and I were talking about this when they just had scrimmages yesterday on Monday that, you know, I'd be sprinting to the end line to get that ball. Number one, at least in my heyday, I was fast and I want to help clear the ball for the team because there's a time limit. They have to get the ball over the 50 in a certain amount of time. So just everything that you do on the field, it does matter. And if you want to win those MVP points at the end of a game as well. So individuals are voted on by the players on the field. It's the two teams. You can vote for your own teammate. You can vote for your own opponent, but you have a MVP 1, 2, and 3. That really matters too. So you want to get noticed. You want to do well for those who are on your purple, your yellow, you know, your blue, whatever team you're playing for. But then you want to make sure that the opponent notices as well, because MVP points are really big too. So yeah, there's multiple ways to earn points. And I think that's probably one of the most exciting points. It's not just, you know, what you do stat-wise, but how you're helping the team. Maybe you don't get a lot of stats, but you can still earn points for your team as well as MVP and move up the leaderboard.
Action starts on Thursday, July 20 on ESPNU. The game's on Sunday, the 23rd. As I said earlier, they're on ESPN2. I think the coolest thing here is you get 56 of the best players in the world hanging out together for a month, basically practicing together in hotels together, eating meals together. And it becomes sort of a petri dish of experimentation, of exchanging of ideas. And many of these women are actually coaches right now at the college or high school level. And so this is really fortifying the game from this experience, because you have good on good, I think, and people are getting, the women are getting better because of this. And they're kind of pushing the game forward with experimentation, with schemes, whether it's something that they learned at Carolina or Maryland or BC, and the mixing of all those ideas and those people, to me, is such a benefit. What have you seen in terms of this as this is not Team USA, but this as a vehicle to push the women's game forward?
You know, it's much needed. When you think that there was not a viable women's pro league, this is the only one, plain and simple, in the entire world. So in order to have something to aspire to for all those young players, they need to have, you know, a goal in the foreseeable future. And that's what this is, plain and simple. You know, the fact that they're in season three, it's thriving. You know, everybody wants in. They want to be one of those next draftees. There were 17 newcomers this year. That's huge. You want to be on a winning team. You want to try and be that champion. But ultimately, it's about having and creating a path for all those young players. And it's athlete driven. So every single player, the fact that they have a voice, you know, these players feel heard and changes are made. You know, we saw a goalie crowned as champion year one. It was Taylor Cummings. I'm sure a few people know her name. But any position can win, right? Defense doesn't necessarily get a lot of glory. And here you had a goalie, you know, winning the entire Athletes Unlimited season two, which is awesome. But every season they reevaluate and it's, are we doing this right? Do we want to change any value to the points, which we are going to see? Goalies are now just +5 because saves, you know, they did receive a lot. And even the goalies agreed, maybe it was too much. But mistakes matter as well. If you turn the ball over, if you take a shot, and all of the players know that that's pushing them to strive to get to that perfection level. Because one thing you preach to all the young players is basics. And, you know, they're proving and preaching exactly what they're teaching. And it's just exciting. They all have their own individual personalities, their own things that they love and care for. And in this player-driven professional league, they all have causes that are near and dear to their heart. And some of their bonuses go towards that. And the players really appreciate that, whether it was a cause that maybe their collegiate team had done, like Morgan's Message or the One Love Foundation, or something else that they really grew to love over the years. And you know, they feel like they're giving back in a way, you know, through Athletes Unlimited. Again, what they're able to push forth, I think, speaks volumes.
So every athlete plays for a cause?
That's right. And they each pick their own. And obviously we see some causes that, you know, repeat. Harlem Lacrosse is there. Just every player has a connection. They don't randomly pick. They all have a story. And I think that's something that Joe and I try and tell each week about these players individually, what their path has been. You know, one of the players, Ella Simpkins out of Syracuse, talked about her struggles in the classroom and, you know, how she overcame that. And then how she has then taught those who she coaches at Army. She's an assistant coach there. Just how you can have a setback, you can have adversity, but it is how you progress and how you get the support to get through it. And just as you had mentioned, every single one of these players, they do have connections still with their college coaches, which I love. I talked with Phil Barnes at UNC last year, before we were headed into that final weekend, number four. And he was talking with one of the captains and it was, how do I get my team to mesh quickly? What do you think are some easy offenses for us to work and kind of show something new and different? And they want to compete. And I love that about these young women who are here to showcase this awesome form of lacrosse that Athletes Unlimited puts forth, but then they still want to get better themselves. And I don't think you can necessarily say that about every pro athlete that we see, male or female. It's they think they're at the top of their game. They know it all. And that's not at all what you see here. And yeah, a lot of them are college coaches and a lot of them are now working together, which again shows that, you know, the connections that they form off the field matter.
So last year's top four returning point scorers were chosen captains for this year's week one. And they had a draft on Monday night, July 17th, and they picked their teams, 14 each. I want to go through the four captains for week one, because all had stellar summers. All were great last summer. Taylor Moreno, a goalie, was the overall winner, correct, last year?
That's right. And she will be heading up the gold team this year. They picked their teams yesterday. Taylor Moreno is by far, I mean, she's a player who she won the overall Athletes Unlimited last year, had the highest amount of points, and it was a nail biter. It came down to that very last game between Team Moreno and Team Apuzzo, which of course, Sam Apuzzo is a captain again this year as well. But Taylor had won the NCAA championship. Then she went on to win a gold medal with Team USA. And then she won as the overall champion for Athletes Unlimited. So to say she had a jam-packed spring / summer, you know, she checked every single box.
Is she the best? And if so, why?
She is. You know, I think it's hard when you're the last line of defense, right? You know, I talked with her about it this year, her coach at Carolina, we discussed she's a perfectionist. She's very creative. She's into arts and graphics, but she can kind of take on too much. And she knew and understood that. She said her mental game is what she believes has pushed her into the next level of what she can perform on the field. You know, how to hone in and focus on just one thing, because we all know what that is, making a save as a goalkeeper. And she sometimes had a lot of things flying through her head at the collegiate level. And it wasn't until they said, take a step back, slow down. You know, what do we really need to accomplish, you know, on the field and or off the field, you know, academically? And, you know, she's just continuing to thrive. And I think the best lacrosse is in front of her.
Sam Apuzzo, no relation to Sammy's restaurant up in Hunt Valley, but Sam Apuzzo, she was a guest on this podcast last summer. And we talked about her Long Island origins and playing a lot of basketball when she was young. I know last year she was an assistant coach at BC. I'm not sure if that was still the case this spring. What is notable, or why is Sam such a dominant player?
Oh, gosh. She is a competitor. Like, that's my biggest word for her. She just flips a switch on the field. And she is also one of those humble style players that, you know, she wants to include everyone. She is an excellent draw taker. She's a prolific scorer, obviously, but she can carry the team on her back. And we saw last year at the start of that last game where it was going to be her or Taylor Marino to come out and be the champion. And she didn't begin the game at the draw. She gave one of her teammates the opportunity, who had done well earlier. And, you know, myself, I was thinking, my gosh, she's so good at the draw. Why not start there? But she had faith in her team. Ultimately, there came a point in the game where she knew a change had to be made, and she stepped up to the plate. You know, she's just the kind of player on the field that, you know, when times get tough, you can rely on her. And, you know, some people crumble under pressure, and that is not Sam Apuzzo at all. She just kind of see this look in her eyes. She has this signature hairstyle that she always wears when she plays. And I just, you can feel it, you see it, you sense it on the field. And everybody who plays with her says the same thing. We asked that question at Media Day. Who do you think is going to come out as champion this year? And just about every single player said, I don't think Sam Apuzzo is going to be denied a third time, because she is always in the mix. And the fact that last year we couldn't even announce it on air, it was that tight. And they wanted to make sure that the stats added up correctly individually. So I don't disagree. I think, you know, this is somebody time number three, there's no chance it wouldn't be Sam.
Yeah, last year I was out once. This year I'm coming out on Thursday, August 3rd. Hope to get dinner at Sammy's with my daughter. And I want to take Grace down to the field, because what stood out to me last year, just the quality of athletes. Ali Mastriani was one of them. I mean, you talk about someone who can run, who can cover ground in the middle of the field, who's strong with both hands, who can play defense. I was just blown away in person by that level of women's lacrosse athlete. What does Allie bring to the table?
You know, Allie's a really fluid player. She is a true two-way midfielder. I feel it's like a dying breed, but not to her. And she's somebody who reflected after last year. She felt like she came in a little bit tired. Again, she was like a Taylor Marino, had won a first place college, position. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
College and then USA. Cause I remember going to the USA finals on that rainy Sunday and then seeing so many of the same women the following week at Athletes Unlimited.
Yeah. I mean, just what their bodies went through back to back to back. And she finished in the top four, not bad, right, for a rookie. And she said, I went back and evaluated, what could I do differently? What did I need to change? How could I train to be a little better? And I'm thinking, okay, you were a rookie and you scored in the top four, but she's somebody who also takes the draw, and she's fluid. She's natural. She kind of looks like she's not even running hard, and it just comes that easy to her. So she's one of those do-it-alls on the field that, again, is kind of dying. You know, if you look at women's lacrosse, they're kind of going not to Fogos, but to Dogos, right? You know, win the draw and get off. And that is not Ali Mastriani. She takes it, she wins it. And she is pushing the fast break to begin the offense. And she's one of the first people back defensively. And that mentality that she has on the field, I think, is what drives her to be one of, if not the best, two-way midfielder in the game today.
Captain number four was Britt Reed, another goaltender. You mentioned that the points have been changed. Saves have come down from 6 points to 5 points per save. Tell me about Britt.
You know, Britt was also coming off of World Championships. She played for Team England. You know, her game as she would put it several times last year, she didn't have good individual games. And as a goalkeeper, you know, that'll hurt you, yet she still managed to be in the top four. You know, she had her wife who was pregnant, you know, just, I think a lot of things that maybe were distractions for her, but she was always up near the top. She is a huge communicator, super serious in the goal, but funny off. And I'm like, well, wait, distraction, you now have a young baby who is on site at Athletes Unlimited up in Sparks, Maryland. And she's like, yeah, but we have a nanny. Like, she's raring to go as well. And Britt is most definitely capable of walking away with it this year again. You know, one point that was taken away from these keepers, is it going to matter? Yeah, a little bit. But again, if Britt Reed's team wins more, as well as Taylor Marino, because their teams, you know, didn't win as much as some of the others, I think that they will no doubt have the option of being back towards the top of the leaderboard, which again says a lot about their play.
18 colleges have alums that are playing in this event. Carolina leads away with a dozen. Maryland has 7, 8 if they count you. BC, a half dozen, 6. Loyola, 4. Northwestern, 4. USC, 4. JMU 3. I thought it was interesting. I didn't see any D3 players, but the BC number of 6, certainly Charlotte North leads the way there. Now she's a year out of college. What are your expectations for Charlotte? Should we expect to see her on SportsCenter over the next 4 weeks?
You know, you can always count on Charlotte doing something amazing on the field. She has a powerful shot. She can shoot 2-pointers. But she's drawing a lot of double teams. And when that happens, that opens her up to be able to pass the ball. And she's an unselfish player. You know, she likes to have fun on the field. She can do some awesome things with her stick, be incredibly creative. But I do think, you know, last year she, I think, finished at 14th. And because she has to move the ball as well, and sometimes those situations where she's double or triple teamed, you know, when a turnover is created, that hurts you statistically. And, you know, if those can be minimized, Charlotte will absolutely be towards the top. You know, I think she's somebody who you're gonna hear and see a lot of this year, not just on the field, but, you know, in some broadcast as well. So that should be exciting for us.
There are some veterans. Kylie Allmiller's playing. She's, you know, fought back from that injury. Lizzie Colson, Meg Dowdy still in the mix, correct? Hasn't she been around for a while? Scotty Rose Grownie is another name I think that's been around a bit. Who are some of the, I don't want to say more experienced players that continue to shine?
For Team Marino, you look at Marie McCool, one of the UNC graduates, and she was an assistant coach last year. Kenzie Kent, she was a BC grad, teammate of Sam Apuzzo. You know, she's been here all 3 seasons. Haley Warden, Caroline Wakefield, Ella Simpkins, you know, names that you've heard a lot in national championship games over the year. Those are kind of those stalwarts on the teams. But Meg Dowdy, you know, she can still do it. She is incredibly fit. I look at Cookie Carr, the same thing. She's a defensive player who'd been with Team USA for a long time, was not playing last summer. But when you just look at her physicality, her toughness on the field, you know, I have a feeling she's going to be moving back into the collegiate ranks because she is just such a student of the game. And, you know, Becca Block, she did not return this year. She won the defensive position award. And I think that just goes to show you that the older you get, doesn't mean you necessarily get slower. It means you get wiser. And, you know, that's something most definitely that all of these players have done. You know, for Ali Mastriani's team, Alex Ost-Holman, which Holman, many people may recognize that last name. Her husband plays in the PLL. And, you know, there's a good mix of young and veteran on each of these teams. And I think that's what makes them most successful. They want to take these young players under their wing so that way they can build quickly on the field. But young players like Abby Bosco for Team Apuzzo, she just finished at Maryland. Jen, oh gosh, I'm blanking on this last name right now for Team Apuzzo. Lauren Gilbert was fresh last year after leaving Northwestern, and she is the fastest hands down player on the field. And this is just season two for her. Reed, I can't leave them out. Lizzie Colson is one of their big time stars on the defensive end, as well as Allie Kennedy. Lindsay McCone had a breakout season last year. There's just, I feel like I just need to name everybody on these rosters because it's a who's who.
It really is. I mean, again, there's only 56 that get broken up into 14 per team each week, four teams, and they play the other three teams. It's Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. All the games are on ESPN Plus. Many of them are on ESPNU live with Joe Beninati and Courtney on the call. And then there's a handful also on ESPN2, including this Sunday's the 23rd. As I said, I'll be out there on August 3rd, which is a Thursday night for that doubleheader. Who's a rookie, Court? Who's a rookie that you think you're eager to watch?
I love seeing Haley Radigan. She's playing on Team Apuzzo for this first week on the Orange team. She was outstanding in the national championship that Northwestern won. She was a transfer from Mercer, stepped onto Northwestern's team, didn't play the first few games, I believe had an injury during the collegiate season. And as I watched the scrimmages yesterday, which is basically how the captains evaluated the talent, see who was kind of working well with one another on the field. She was a big time points getter. So Haley Radigan, she'll be wearing number 77 in the orange for Team Apuzzo. Excited to see what she can do on the field, most definitely. And then there's a couple defensive players. One out of Loyola, who I think is going to step up big. It's a bunch of the captains had mentioned, we know that defense wins championships, right? The old adage. So they aren't just focused on picking awesome attackers. They know they have to pick defensive players who work well together as well. So we see a lot of returning faces like Emma Trenchard or newbies like Marge Donovan. And I think Marge is one of those players who defensively can spark the offense. And I saw that yesterday too. She even scored a goal. She played in sixes in the World Games last year. So a lot of different experiences for many of these players that they're going to bring to Athletes Unlimited and I think help propel them forward.
The website, I believe, is ausports.com. The action starts on Thursday, July 20th. They'll play three games a week. They total the points, and then the top four become captains or leaders for the next week. And the drafts, what are they, on Sunday night or Monday nights each week? And then practice Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, they really feel one another out when they're on the field. I love the fact that they all have gone golfing before or bowling. When their bodies do need a break, they take a break, but they've had upwards of, you know, 3-4 practices if they feel that it's needed. Not saying it's all out where they're running hard, but if they feel like they need to just go over some basic schemes, offenses, defenses, and just run more skeleton work, they have the freedom to do that again because they're all together for these 4 weeks. So it's every captain is different. You know, some are a little bit more loose and some are, you know, pretty firm straight from the getaway that we're not going to deviate from the schedule. So it is all up to the captains. They have facilitators who are essentially helpers to them on running the field. But these captains do it all. They are essentially, you know, the coaches.
Yeah, no, that's a fascinating study, I think, because once this thing gets going, you're dealing with fatigue. But again, you have a new roster each week to play three games. And how do you mesh? So do you go out and do you walk through some formations you want to run? Do you talk about matchups each week? So the strategy side is fascinating. And then the intermixing of talent. You know, 1 week you might play with a former teammate. Like if you're a North Carolina or Maryland player, there's pretty likely that you're going to be playing amongst people you played with in college. But then the next week, maybe you're around total strangers, people you've never played with. And I think that makes it really stimulating, both from a strategic standpoint and from an individual standpoint as well. What's the biggest challenge for you, Court, once this thing gets rolling?
You know, the changing of teams. I think I try and see who's working best together, just like they're trying to figure it out on the field. Because maybe somebody who previously was a big time Dodger from up top is all of a sudden playing at X. And I'm thinking, is this a decision that, you know, they're making for the betterment of the team, but that doesn't necessarily play to their strengths? So they're not going to move up that leaderboard, you know, all those little things that any fan is questioning and or wants to know. And we do, as the broadcast team, Joe, I, and we have another person on the sideline as well this year, that we want to give them their space as well. We don't want to reveal too much because they're going to be changing up teams and switching things around the following week. So we try and, talk about all these different things that we are seeing, but don't necessarily always give an answer as to why it's being done. And that could maybe be another little study that we can do postseason, that it's like, okay, you did it for the betterment of the teams. You guys could get these team points because it definitely didn't help you individually. But that kind of stuff, I think, is always my biggest challenge, that, yeah, who's ultimately the one making those decisions.
One thing I don't see the video reviews that go on where a shot grazes off my leg. I think it was a save. I don't get credit for it. And so I can ask the Athletes Unlimited scorekeepers to review the film. And so they can redo the scoring totals at the end of a game or at the end of the weekend to adjust that. So I think that's fascinating. But then the game I was at last year, Court, the women were walking around after the game with iPads, and they were all voting for MVPs. Are there points associated with MVPs, and can I vote for myself?
There are points associated, and you can vote for yourself. You know, I sit here and, you know, I think just like the same thing when captains are being voted upon, right, for high school. And do you vote for yourself? Do you not? And, you know, many times these players, you know, we've asked them on air and they've been so gracious to answer, I voted for so-and-so on their team. And I'm thinking, my gosh, they had a great performance too. You know, why not put yourself out there? But that humility that so many of these girls have, I think, speaks volumes to their character, because money's on the line, right? It's a matter of where you fall and land points wise is how you move up. So I always say lacrosse is a game of humility. And I heard that this summer from Puerto Rico men's lacrosse, their national team coach. And it was true. You know, there's no shot clock internationally on the men's side, right? And so it's, do I take the shot? Do I not? Give it to somebody else who maybe has a better shot. So that's a really humble moment that, like, all right, I could shoot it, but somebody else may have a better one. On the flip side, we see players hauling the ball. And I'm going to use Kenzie Kent as an example. She's an assist maniac. She can feed that ball in like no other. Sometimes it's not always caught. I don't know. Are they giving her the turnover? Are they giving the person who didn't catch it? Or as the shot clock is winding down, she could either hold on to it and just, you know, put the ball down and let the opponent come up with it, or she can try a little Hail Mary. And oftentimes she's going for that Hail Mary. And I asked her on media day, I'm like, have you ever thought of not doing that? And she goes, you know, I have, as opposed to getting the, I think it's negative 12 points. It's a lot for a turnover. And she's like, and then ultimately it was, no, this is how I play. I'm going to take a risk. And whether I'm negatively impacted, too bad, I could potentially help my team get a goal. So I'm always going to repeat and make that decision. And, you know, I don't necessarily think every player would make that decision, but, you know, certainly somebody like Kenzie Kent, you know, looking at the bigger picture, you know, chooses to go for that opportunity, that potential chance.
Athletes Unlimited, pro women's lacrosse, 4 weeks in a row, ESPN Plus, ESPNU, and ESPN2, starting on July 20th, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, each week. The last thing, Court, I want to ask you about rules. And there's been a lot of discussion at the college level with changing some rules. The constantly being reevaluated in terms of fouls, the 8-meter arc, free position shots. Are there any rules wrinkles here that you love? Because the pro game can be used as kind of an experimentation, you know, a vehicle to see what works, what doesn't work. From a rules standpoint, from the way this game is played, wrap it up with is there something here that you love, or are you learning about rules from this product?
I think obviously the fact that we don't have shooting space or 3 seconds is very intriguing. I'd say at the collegiate level, as they're trying out potentially to change a whole lot of rules, which I'm not in support of, because I think the current rules just need to be policed better, right? Called as they are written. But it does show a way that it can be done, but these are professionals. And at times, you know, they get it wrong. We'll take a shot when they shouldn't, because the onus is on the shooter. And, you know, these are wiser, not 18, 19, 20 year olds. You know, these are 25 to 34 year olds who understand the impact that if I take this shot, I may score or I could knock somebody's head off, and they get that. So, you know, I think a rule like that, you can't necessarily compare to maybe a teenager doing the same thing or a high schooler, but it does show that there, you know, can be a safe way for it to be done for mature professional athletes. But I do love the fact that many things have penalties. You know, you're going to make a mistake at the draw. That's something new this year, that there's a green card given for offsides on the draw. I think just at times the women's game can be too lenient. And so if there's an offsides at the draw, it's a team penalty. And just they pull a player off for 30 seconds that has to be served. So again, somebody's going to think twice about stepping over that line. So I like little things like that where it, now we'll see if there's a lot of offsides or not. Probably not, because 30 seconds is imposed, and that's half of the time that you have to score a goal or play defense. So, you know, I think little things rules committees can take from Athletes Unlimited, but I definitely don't think everything would be imposed all the way down, because I think it's a pro league for a reason. It's special, and, you know, they're seasoned, and, you know, they deserve to have a little bit more of an exciting style of game where they can showcase that athleticism.
Well, it is special, and I think lacrosse is lucky to have it. Athletes Unlimited starts this weekend, July 20th, wraps up later in August. 24 games you and Joe will be calling, ESPN Plus, you and two. Court, I appreciate your time today. Really enjoyed our time that we got to spend together in San Diego covering the World Championships, and I hope everything's great with your family, as you herd cats this summer.
We are always this direction, that direction, here, there, everywhere. I got 3 in Arizona right now and 2 with me here. Well, actually 4 if you count my dog in Arizona.
Well, I hope to see them at some games then.
Thanks. You too. Thanks, Quint. Court. Always a pleasure.
Be well. Best to Joe and the gang.
The Quintessential Podcast is proud to announce that we have a new presenting sponsor, Axia Time. Axia Time is a really cool watch company focused on ultra-custom watches to commemorate life's greatest accomplishments. Watches whose styling and quality match the significance of the accomplishments they represent. Axia Time is also partnered with all the leading lacrosse organizations to create all-American timepieces for high school boys and girls and college men and women. Axia Time even creates timepieces for elite awards like the Tuaraton and Naismith. If you're interested in a high-quality, Swiss-made timepiece to commemorate a great accomplishment, you need to check out their designs at axiatime.com. That's axiatime.com. If you're celebrating a team achievement, like a state championship, national championship, or even world championship, you have to check out the timepieces they created for teams like Jesuit Dallas, the University of Maryland, and even the USA U21 World Champions. I want to thank Courtney Martinez-Connor for being our guest on the Quintessential Podcast presented by Axia Time. Athletes Unlimited, certainly pushing the women's game forward. If you get a chance, please check it out either on TV or in person. The PLL is in Louisville this weekend, Saturday, July 22nd. for the All-Star Game and the Skills Competition. You can watch the Skills Competition at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. The All-Star Game will be played live on ESPN at 7:30 on Saturday from Louisville. Drew Carter, Ryan Boyle, and Chantel McCabe have the call. Week 7 is in Dallas. Week 8, and that's the first week of August, is in Baltimore. I'll be working that weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday at Homewood Field, August 5 and August 6. The Sunday game is actually on ABC. If you're planning on coming out to those games at Homewood, I advise you to get your tickets ahead of time. PLL now, after 5 weeks, the Archers and Water Dogs sit atop first place at 4-1. Cannons, Chaos, and Redwoods are in the middle of the pack at 3-2. All three of those teams have shown flashes of being a title contender and all have shown moments of maybe not so much. And then at the bottom of the pack, the Whipsnakes, injury riddled. Atlas, haven't been able to play defense. Chrome, turnover prone, 1-4. So you got two teams at 4-1, 3 at 3-2, 3 at 1-4. As we turn the corner towards the second half of the summer with the All-Star Game from Louisville. Hope everyone's having a great summer. Thanks for listening to this edition of my podcast, and be well, everybody. That's it for this week's episode of the Quintessential Podcast. Thank you to our guests. Thanks to our technical director, Dr. Nick Z. I want to thank you for listening. And of course, thanks to our sponsor, Axia Time. A watch, what a better gift than a ring. I've got a championship ring. It's collecting dust in a box. I wear watches all the time. Thank you, Axia Time. It's axiatime.com, and we'll see you next week.